You are listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, my favorite podcast to listen to on long flights across the galaxy.
This is the way.
We want it, men.
Welcome to episode 160, right, Jason?
61
of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast.
Yes, sir.
Your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. We sound a little weird today because Jason and I are in person on my back deck smoking cigars in celebration of things.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Cool.
Yeah, how was your week, Jason?
It was busy.
Yeah?
It's been insanely busy on different fronts. I went out to Dallas for work. My company is a construction company, but they did implode three buildings, which was crazy to see in person. But, yeah, I was in Dallas. Was able to check out... one of the stores,
Holocron
Toys and Order 66, which was cool.
Which one was better?
I'd have to go with Holocron, just because Order 66, half of the store was closed when I got there. And so I was a little disappointed when I got there because, first of all, they bought RebelScum.com, which is, I think, an important website in the formation of the collecting community. A lot of stuff happened on.
I was nervous when my wife discovered Rebel Scum and decided to log into it. So she's learning all kinds of stuff that not that I don't want her to learn, but that just means she's going to spend more money on Ewoks.
Yeah, I think that was an important place. Like, I think there's a camp that went to this collector archive, and I think there's another camp, and maybe they went to both, went to Rebel Scum forums, or maybe you went to one to learn about the hobby, and then you went to Rebel Scum forums to interact with the hobby. Either way, it's important, and to walk into this toy store that's kind of taken the reins, there was nothing there that said RebelScum.com other than a magnet, so you had to go looking for it. And they got some new inventory in. It was like an old store in the mall. It was like a, I don't know, I want to say like a, not a Crate Barrel, but like a...
Just a normal store.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for, a normal store.
It's a lot different doing this in person than it is on the internet.
But you know, when you walk in a store and then there's like two different pathways to go to the back of the store,
mm-hmm.
One of the pathways was closed off because they had new inventory. So I felt like I was walking in half a store.
Oh, that stinks.
And it was, for the most part, modern stuff. Prices were decent. But yeah, it's a lot of Power of the Force 2 Episode 3. They had a lot of vintage collection, which I was happy to see. A lot of Black Series, but... And in the back of that one section was the gaming room. But nothing really that announced RebelScum.com or anything. Other, like I said, that one magnet. So I was disappointed with that. And then I went across town because that store is in Dallas. And it's crazy that there's essentially two cities there. There's Dallas, and then there's Fort Worth. And so I went all the way over to Fort Worth for Holocron, which is a good store. They had a great selection of vintage stuff. They had carded vintage graded, and then they had carded vintage in star cases. A lot of it was ask for prices, so I'm sure that they were looking at the latest eBay sales for their prices.
There's nothing better than that. Hey, man, how much is your price? Hold on, let me look on eBay. And there's some listed for, but not sold for.
So... walked around there. Their prices seemed a little high, but, I mean, they are brick and mortar. And they only sold Star Wars. There was no Micro Machines, no Galoob stuff. It was all Hasbro and Kenner. They did have some Disney droids, but those were really expensive.
Really?
Some of those were selling for $65-$70.
Damn.
So, it was cool. It was cool to go around and drive around and... Dallas is insane for somebody who's not from Dallas. The roads, it felt like there was a billion highways, and every 2 minutes there's an interchange. It's almost like, I know they call them spaghetti junctions, but it's almost like someone grabbed some wet spaghetti, threw it on a plate and said, that's the map of Dallas, because every few minutes you're switching to another highway. Sometimes there's toll roads, but to get on the toll roads, it's the left exit. Sometimes it's the right exit. It's just a mess.
Well, the important question is, did you have any barbecue while you were out there?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I did. I also saw The Creator, another Gareth Edwards movie who directed Rogue One. I won't spoil it too much, but I felt like it was a phenomenal sci-fi film.
Yeah, I guess I got to go see that. And then there's something else coming out on Netflix too, right? Or did I see some, like, another sci-fi? Wasn't it?
It's possible.
Somebody was going to write a Star Wars movie, or yes, wrote a Star Wars movie, and Lucasfilm turned it down.
Yes.
So he turned it into a normal.
Zack Snyder turned it into two movies.
Yeah.
Like, I heard someone talking about this on another podcast. The Creator doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie. There's some inspiration from different movies, but it doesn't feel like this is Star Wars, where I feel like when I watch Rebel Moon, you can be like, oh, that's an Imperial officer. Oh, that's a Stormtrooper. Oh, that's your Jedi hero.
Right, because I think they even have, like, swords, like laser swords.
Yeah, I'm afraid that it's going to be too similar to Star Wars. And who knows, maybe we'll watch the movie and be like, I'm glad they didn't turn that into a Star Wars.
Either that, or they'll be like, man, this is better than the sequels.
But it was a good time.
I guess you didn't pick anything up while you were out there.
I didn't pick anything up while I was out there, but everything came in. So on my way to the airport, I had some time to kill. I had like a half hour to kill, so I walked into Target. And they had that new Mandalorian speeder bike for $22. It was 50% off.
Nice.
So I bought that.
In Dallas or here?
Here.
Okay.
So I was sitting in my car the whole time, and I realized I already had one coming, full price.
Just go return one.
So I have one to open.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I can't. If I return one, I want to return the one that I ordered online. Anyways, I have one to open, so I got that. Also, while I was out, I got the Destroy the Death Star Battle Pack from Micro Galaxy Squadron. That came in. My other speeder bike came in. Luke and Grogu from the Vintage Collection, that came in. Darth Vader Black Series, the one where he's got the cut open mask.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was cool, so I got that. And then I got the 4-pack from the Vintage Collection with Ri-Yi's, Squidhead, and the two dudes that go on the sail barge.
Mm-hmm.
I got them because I got one to open to put on the sail barge and one to keep in the package. And I don't do that other than things that relate to Jabba's Palace.
Because of that damn Salacious Crumb guy.
Because of the barge, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I got the barge, and it was empty for the longest time. And then Hasbro started to support them, so I grabbed that section of the movies, I should say. Although I went over to Rich's before I went. He's like, I got to show you something. So before I went to Dallas, this was like Tuesday night.
Because
I had to leave to get home to watch Ahsoka. He's like, come on over. I want to show you something. So I go over there. He's like, we're going to tear this apart. I'm like, what? So he opens up his Jabba's Palace and he starts drilling into it. And he's like, we're going to put a light here. We're going to put a light here. I'm going to put a light here. So he was like enhancing it. And, yeah, so he's adding lights to his. It looks phenomenal. It looks like just out of Jabba's Palace. It's pretty awesome.
And he's probably just doing it, like, nonchalantly, because he knows what it in his head. He's done it so many times, and you're just sitting there going, oh, my God, he's drilling in the freaking TVC stuff.
Yes,
yeah. $150 figure or playset.
$225
playset. Well, he's not going to get a hold of my ghost then.
No. But, yeah, I also have a couple other things coming, and we'll talk about it next week. I feel like that's enough gluttony for one week. I had told myself I'm not going to buy anything. I got things I got to prepare for. You know, I need some frames. I need to do this. So I was just a little shocked that everything was coming in the mail because I had sworn it off.
Right.
How about you? Did you pick anything up? Enough of me.
I got the Ahsoka 2-pack from Micro Galaxy Squadron.
I got that too.
Yeah. Did you open yours?
I have not. Not yet, no.
I've seen a lot of complaints with them. I'm starting to see a lot more complaints with the Micro Galaxy stuff as far as quality control. Like, they're missing some of the quality control. Like, some wings are missing on some of the starships. My two came in fine. Because it's her Jedi starfighter, and then the thing that looks like a TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I don't know what that one's called.
Titan? Wait.
The thing that looks like a Jedi starfighter that looks like a TIE fighter. Like the very, first iteration
of it. The V-Wing?
No, it's hers. It's like the Jedi starfighter. They just came out with, an Anakin and an Obi-Wan version. It's sort of like...
Yes. The later version, the Revenge of the Sith version.
Okay, well then they're both Jedi starfighters. But I hadn't seen any issues with those. What else? I built my Lego Ghost, the new one, and there's some improvements on it, but when you set them side by side, they look like the same ship, which they are. But they've done some stuff to hide some of the spaces they've done. Because if you look at the ship, you could see the old one, you could see straight into it. This one, they kind of built some gribbly or something to hide it that you set in there to hide that gap. And this one, you can open up, and they've actually got a little, whatever fruit, I can't think of it, that Ezra leaves Hera.
Yeah.
And they've got that little crate of that in there. So it's a good ship. I'm happy to have it. Did I need to have it? No, but it's the Ghost. I want all the Ghost. And then I picked up our buddy Jordan, I had the Sabine Black Series on order on Amazon, pre-order on Amazon, but it's not going to come out till another month. And they were been hitting Walmarts, and Jordan found one for me, picked it up. And that, by far, that is an amazing figure, except for the helmet being too damn big.
Cool. I have to see that. I haven't looked at it. We've been busy with other things at your place.
Yeah, I need to. It's downstairs. We'll go look at it.
But
I mean, I have to compare it to Bo-Katan, and I haven't compared it to the Bo-Katan or the Boba Fett. I haven't had that much time or cared that much. Actually, I haven't cared that much because her head sculpt is an incredible. I mean, it looks just like the live action Sabine on the head sculpt of her. So I mean, it's a shame to hide that head sculpt under a bucket. But the Jedi Hunter, which is what she's affectionately called, that version, is my favorite version of Sabine. So to finally have that in a figure is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's... Yeah.
The big news this week, the writer's strike is over.
Mm-hmm.
So writers can go back to work. However, it's kind of a... For late night talk shows, they can do that. For movies, you can't do that because you'd be crossing the picket line.
Right, the actors are still on strike.
Yeah, the actors are still on strike. So they can't really work on movies and stuff, but the discussions can happen. You can't go to set. So I would imagine Donald Glover can go home and write Lando. He just can't go to set and film it.
But do you really think he was not writing Lando?
I thought it was weird the timing of the announcement that Deadline was reporting that it's being turned into a movie instead of a TV show in the middle of a writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that decision was made prior to the writer's strike.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think people were writing.
You think people were just not writing at all? They weren't okay. Weren't stockpiling stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, saying that, yeah, they were doing the right thing.
Okay.
They could make ideas and stuff, but... I don't think they did any script writing until the strike was over. But as far as other big news, so we were pimping this out for a while.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And you can sleep better now.
I can sleep better. the Georgia Alliance, we're putting on a mini convention in May 4th, called Rogue Fun. And so the New York Club did the annual. Their first one, they had about 80, 90 people attend. The second one, they had 60 people attend, so I was figuring we might get 70 if we're lucky. I was really worried not to hit that full top mark. And so Thursday night when I was in Dallas, I went out, saw the creator. Friday night, I decided to stay at the hotel because tickets were going to go on sale 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Dallas time. And so, yeah, 7 o'clock rolls around, and we did it like a claim system. So ticket, I want a ticket, I want a ticket, I want a ticket. And we sold out 110 spots in the first 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I was just nonstop. My brain was buzzing. I couldn't fall asleep that night. I went to bed at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time with like 82 people signed up. And I was just like, I can't believe this. Woke up at 4, and we had 4 in the morning Eastern Time, and we had 5 spots left.
Yeah.
And when I woke up at, I went back to sleep around 5. Because when I got up at 4:30, I decided to make that sold out graphic. Because I was like, we're going to need this today. Yeah. Holy crap. And yeah, woke up at 8:30 and the last ticket had sold, and I posted that thing, and I was just, I was still like half asleep, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm posting this, but we're sold out.
Yeah. And you, I can tell in the chats, because you were, you know, you were being real reserved, and now you're just like foot to the, you know, pedal to the metal. Let's do this. We got the funding. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to sweat it, and we're good. Let's go.
Yeah, because the way I've been approaching it is like, I think this is like the way that government works. Like, we got a problem, solve it, move to the next problem. That problem, solve it, move to the next problem. So the first problem was selling tickets. Mm-hmm. That's long solved, so now it's on to the next thing. So I had anticipated inviting some of the panelists on to talk about the panels, to pimp it up. Now that it's a closed event, essentially, because the tickets are sold out, I'm like, maybe we just keep everything for the wrap-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we even have a wait list, too.
Right.
And I feel really bad because I want to have more people come, but the room is limiting the number of people we can get to sit there and comfortably sit around and talk. And so.
Yeah, and it's, there's been people that are like, oh, man, I was doing something Friday night, and they had the same assumption that they would have time, and it's like, get on the wait list.
It blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And now the job is to create a premium event that is fun and is worthy of the people's travels, because
it's in the title, so it needs to be fun.
Road fun. Yeah, we got to play that up. We got to make it feel like a premium event, and we have to. What was the thought? Only 20 people are here in Georgia.
Right.
Everybody else is coming from other places, so it needs to make it be an event worthy of travel.
Right. There's a lot of people, and even the room block sold out. So the room block we had at the hotel sold out. So
in case people are freaking out, I'm working on getting more rooms.
You just call her up and go, hello there. What do we have here?
I'm working on it.
I always get my Lando and my Obi-Wan Kenobi confused.
Well, what do we have here?
Exactly.
Hello there.
And I always want to go, well, hello there. And it's not Lando Calrissian.
So that's the update on Rogue Fun. And, it's going to be a good time. I will make sure that it will be a good time. We will make sure it's a good time.
Yes, it'll be a fun time.
And that's the last you'll hear about that for a while.
until the wrap-up show.
Until late May.
Yeah, there's a couple of shows. There's the swap meet, Powder Springs swap meet, next weekend on the 7th. The 14th, Second Chance is hosting our swap meet. And then the weekend after that is Chattanooga Comic Con. So it'll be a busy few weeks.
Yeah, the Georgia meetup.
Georgia Alliance meetup is on the 14th at Second Chance Toys. So that's a good one to get in if you know. I know some people get nervous about going to people's houses. This is a neutral site location, so it's a good way to get your foot in the door if you guys are in Georgia or can make it.
So, I did watch Ahsoka Tuesday night. I raced home, watched Ahsoka, packed, and then got on the plane Wednesday. So, today at lunch, I was like, oh crap, we're recording tonight because this has to drop on Tuesday. And I scrubbed through it quickly on my phone and took some notes, so let me go through those notes. And we can talk about what you liked and what you didn't like. Overall, what did you think of The podcast.
The podcast. Well,
overall, what do you think about this podcast so far? Tell me, how's it going for
you? It's going great. I've got a beer and a cigar, so I'm good.
So there's going to be a second podcast after this?
Yes, I think that we'll do it till we get tired of each other.
What did you? What did you think of this episode?
I am finally excited. I liked Ahsoka from the beginning, but we're finally like tying up the loose ends and the stuff that I wanted to see. So I really enjoyed this episode. I the last couple since Thrawn showed up, they've been like 10 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
Which is what I've been wanting. Like I said, when we recorded last week, when I knew Thrawn was showing up, I was nervous about, you know, I was like, oh crap, we're getting Thrawn. And there was that nervousness, that nervous excitement. It wasn't as bad last week, and I think that tomorrow night I'm going to be a basket case. So we can get into that after we're done with the wrap up, because there's rumors circling around. And
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so we can break this down by scene. The first scene was the trial.
Yes,
Hera's on trial of sorts for her mission to Sea Toss. It was unsanctioned, and I'm just like, I don't understand why they're freaking out so much that Hera's gone to Sea Toss. It was three X-wings and her ship. It's her ship.
Right.
She can go wherever she wants. I think it's the three X-wings that's probably the problem.
It was six X-wings and three came back.
True. So that's probably the problem. You killed three people.
Right. And I think it's just Filoni sort of saying where the New Republic is right now, that they don't care about... They're more into infighting than worrying about a threat.
Yeah.
And it's just they're caught in red tape right now. And it's sad. And I think they're becoming what they didn't want to be, what they fought against, which was the Empire.
So... Yeah, so they discussed the Imperial remnants at this thing, and they did say that they referenced Gideon from Mando Season 3 and his whole thing on the Mandalore, and so this shows us that we are post-Mando Season 3, so when Ahsoka was in the Space Whales, the Purrgils, there was no chance of Grogu seeing them.
Oh, okay.
Because that all happened after Mando Season 3. But I squealed like a pig when my man... Spoilers for this episode. C-3PO came out. Yeah. On behalf of Princess Leia to say that Leia sanctioned this thing.
I never thought I'd cry to C-3PO. I never thought that I would cry when I saw C-3PO until I saw him on freaking this TV show.
C-3PO, and I did the same thing with R2-D2 and Mando Season 2, are quintessential Star Wars to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see that, my heart starts singing, Star Wars!
Nothing but Star
Nothing
Wars!
But Star Wars! C-3PO is Star Wars!
And it was nice seeing him, and then you hear him bring up Leia, and you were kind of thinking, are we going to see a little hologram Leia? Because it would be a real easy, I think, easy way to get Leia in there, where they wouldn't have to do a whole lot of makeup to somebody, you know, because it'd be a little bitty hologram. But they mentioned her, and we didn't get to see what was on the holodisc, so...
That hologram that you see in Star Tours of Leia that comes out and tells you your mission was post her death. And so I don't know what they did. It looks phenomenal. It doesn't look like CG. It doesn't look like the Rogue One Leia. It looks great, so I could see them doing a hologram like that.
Is it...
But it comes up with the ethical question, is it right?
Which version of Leia is it?
The one in Star Tours is the episode 4, Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of hologram.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So C-3PO comes out. I also thought, we can get back to the show in a second, that Anthony Daniels had said when he finished episode 9 he was retiring the character. So I thought this was a new actor, because I felt like when C-3PO stood, his back was arched way too far back.
Right.
Like, this is somebody who doesn't know how to embody C-3PO. But it was Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
The voice kind of sounded off, and I know he's old. But it was Anthony Daniels. It was him. He was on set.
Well, I getting back to the ethical thing, I don't want to go off on too... But anyway, that's part of the reason with the actor strike, because we know background actors, and they were even talking. They go, they scanned me, and I assigned them my rights away, so if they want to use me in another movie, they can. So, I mean, it's definitely something that... ethical. And you know where that started?
Avatar?
Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah, way back then.
Yeah, started that far back.
Yeah, because they were trying to fake it.
Right, with they tried replacing Christian Glover.
They threw him upside down, and they tried to mimic the voice without saying that it wasn't him.
Right.
The senator, Jono? Jono? Like, I guess he's related to the character in Resistance. Which,
he's the dad.
He's the dad?
Yeah, of the main character in Resistance.
I'm earmuffs, kids. This guy's an asshole.
You know it good when Jason curses.
I can't stand this guy. Like, there's never been a... I love Star Wars. There's never been a character I've wanted to punch more in the face than this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, where's this rage coming from?
Right. It's like, did something happen between him and Hera? Or
is he like a flat earther? Like there's no way you can convince me otherwise the Earth is flat kind of guy? Like, there's no way you can... Like, the Empire's gone. No, it's gone. No, it's gone. He's being presented with evidence that there's a possibility of the Empire coming back. No.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping we'll see why he's such a jerk to Hera. But he may just be pissed off that she can do whatever the hell she wants to do and kind of feels that way. Or she's still acting like it's a rebellion when he feels it's not.
I felt the same way, and I have to compare this to Order of Phoenix when... So at the end of Goblet of Fire, Harry sees that Voldemort's back. Mm. And all of the book, because these are long books, all of the book, everyone's like, no, Voldemort's not back in Order of Phoenix. And I'm like, guys, just listen to the kid. He's not making this up. Nobody was listening. They're just so set in their ways.
Right.
It's just so frustrating.
Well, I mean, it could be the same type situation. It is the same type situation.
It is. That's why I bring it up. Like, it's just incredibly frustrating to, as a viewer, to see these characters and not punch him in the face.
Right. Well, that's what's funny is because, like, my mom was doing was somewhere, and like she watched, I guess it was like Gold Rush or something, like this reality TV show where a guy was a real asshole, and she walked up to the guy and she goes, I just want to punch you in the face. He goes, I get that a lot.
The other problem with this character, though, Hera even called him out, because like some of us were fighting against the Empire while others were, you know, sitting back. This guy was just sitting back. He did nothing to help, but he can sit on this high horse and say, no, the Empire's not coming back, when he did absolutely nothing.
I guess I need to rewatch Resistance, or watch the second season of Resistance. As bad as it sucks. Well, I enjoyed it for what it was. You kind of have to put your rose-colored glasses on when you watch that.
I didn't hear... So, what's his name? Made some comment about, like, droids delivering messages. And we don't need to hear from droids or something like
right,
that.
Right, it is coming from a droid. How can you bring this in from a droid or listen to a droid?
Yeah, and Chopper goes, what? Oh! I didn't hear the WTF that other people heard.
Well, to say that, I think everybody's saying Chopper saying that, because it sounds like he says that a lot. But he's actually... I can't understand him. And there again, we have Chopper from the head up. What the... Come on, guys. Give me some real Chopper.
So, but there is a sidebar that happens after this whole thing. Hera's kind of cleared for the moment. And Mon Mothma brings her aside and is like, how real is this threat? And Hera says, you know, we're planning for the worst and hoping for the best.
Right. And somebody did mention that in all the EU books that it harkens back to the EU because Han, Leia, and Luke were always doing shady stuff in the background, and that just, so you know, it brings back what Leia was in the EU.
Then we cut to hyperspace where Ahsoka's training, and there's a whole hologram of Anakin Skywalker.
That was so awesome.
In full Clone Wars gear, talking about how Ahsoka will be up against Count Dooku and Asajj Ventress and General Grievous, and these are the worst of the worst.
And there you see the, oh shoot, the Leonardo DiCaprio memes coming up. I thought that was cool. I didn't like the necessarily Ahsoka training. It felt very forced or very stiff, but I thought that scene was really cool because when you do see Hayden, you only see him from like the waist down, and you're kind of like, all right, are we back in the world between worlds? You don't realize what's happening the first few seconds of that scene.
Yeah.
And then you show that it's a hologram, and then that harkens back to Rebels because Anakin did those basically did training videos for everybody, or would they were free, or I don't know how to put modern terms, but he was known for having training videos because Ezra was watching him, and there was actually a scene with him and Ahsoka talking about the videos. And it's almost, you could, somebody on TikTok or something put them back to back, and it's their videos, what Ahsoka's watching, what Ezra's watching, they very almost mirror each other. Yeah. So it was kind of cool.
So after that, sensors are beeping, they're coming out of hyperspace. They can detect that there's something outside the whale. They get outside the whale, and the Empire has laid a trap. There's mines everywhere.
Where the hell did they get that many mines?
They came prepared.
Okay. That was a shit ton of mines. That was my first thought. Was like, I was expecting, you know, 5 or 6, not hundreds.
Okay.
What?
That's where your suspension of disbelief comes from.
Well, that's when I just had... You just have to stop it and be like, they're freaking Thrawn.
Yeah, the Empire's laid mines around the planets. The Purgles take off, and they're like, peace! We're not going to be part of this anymore. We did what we needed to do. The whales blast off into space. Ahsoka navigates to the mines.
What I liked about that also is Hu Yang was like, well, at least we're covered by the whales. And then the whales take off, and Ahsoka's like, damn it, you, Hu Yang.
Yeah, you just had to say something.
Yeah.
So Imperial fighters, they chase after Ahsoka. And she goes into the debris field to hide and get away from them. She finds a spot. She hangs out. And we cut to the planet where Sabine and Ezra are hanging out. And Sabine catches Ezra up to date about the status of the universe. Emperor's gone, allegedly.
Allegedly. That was somebody had said that's a total jab at the sequels by Dave Filoni.
No, I can see how you interpret that, but there's no physical proof that the Emperor's dead.
Right.
We all know, because we saw Return of the Jedi, but from the perspective of somebody who's living in the universe, who knows?
Right.
It's just a rumor.
Yeah. That I found that a very touching scene from being a Rebels fan, is watching the two of them catch up. And we also got the mention of Zeb and Hera. And
it was weird that, you know, Kanan was his master.
Right.
And be like, you know, Hera and Kanan had a kid.
Yeah.
That seems like a major point to leave out, catching someone up. Like, the person that you loved, who trained you, has a kid.
I think she's trying to hold back some stuff, and I think that, and there again, how the hell else was she going to get there besides, you know, hopping on a plane or hopping on a spaceship without Thrawn? You know, Thrawn, finding Ezra, you found Thrawn, no matter how you did it. So I don't think, you know, and people are like, oh, Sabine did all this evil stuff, but there again, I don't think it's that evil, because no matter how you find one, you find the other one. And there's always that risk that he's going to, you know, Thrawn's going to come back.
Thrawn asks the Night Sisters to find Ahsoka, so they use that ball thing that they have to do that. Ahsoka reaches out through the Force, similarly to what Luke does with Leia on Cloud City.
Yeah.
And somehow through the Force, the Night Sisters are able to pick up on that frequency and locate where the point of origin is in the Force, if you will.
Right.
To use, like, radar terms. And the Empire opens up fire on Ahsoka. She has to get the hell out of there. And then there's a weird scene where we kind of get a little bit more about Baylan,
right.
And what he's up to. Baylan and Shin, they part ways. Baylan tells her to take her place in the new Empire. His path lies in another direction.
That, again, that's sort of the same poetry rhyming with, you know, the Empire telling Luke to strike Vader down and stuff. So that whole scene reminded me of that. Not as dramatic, but
yeah,
it definitely had echoes of that.
And so, like, part of me is like, if you're parting, won't you just cut her Padawan braids and say you're a master now? Otherwise, yeah. It feels like he's leaving her half-trained.
Well, she kind of just stared at him like,
what the hell's going on?
Right. So she quoted Chopper at that point.
So we can get into Baylan in a second, because...
I have theories.
Yeah, I have theories, too. The Raiders attack Sabine and Ezra like a caravan. They circle up to protect themselves. Ahsoka flies over this whole scene, and she sees what's going on. She jumps out of her ship and does a rematch with Baylan. Sabine tries to give Ezra the weapons, like a blaster or a lightsaber.
Right. She's like, here's your saber back.
And he says, the Force is my ally.
It was so Ezra, though.
It's so Ezra. Like, it screams Ezra. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And he uses Force Karate to stop the Raiders until Shin shows up.
And he was like, lightsaber? Oh, crap. Because when Shin shows up.
Yeah. Shin shows up. She uses her lightsaber. He actually uses the Force to catch it in midair. And you could see the distortion.
The distortion, yeah.
The distortion, thank you.
Yeah. That moment made me go, oh, crap. Because you really feel how powerful Ezra is.
Yep. And so at the end of this battle, Shin is cornered. Ahsoka and Sabine have won this round.
Yes, this round, yep.
And until stormtroopers show up and things break loose, all hell breaks loose. Ahsoka shows up and she fights Shin. They're able to stop the stormtroopers, and Thrawn calls everyone back because of the loss of Baylan. Like, that was the piece of the puzzle that he did not foresee.
Right, and he had kind of typical Thrawn, because they had like a little camera there, and it was showing like a chess match going on.
Yes.
Back at the ship.
So that was the piece that he didn't foresee, because he knows that they're outnumbered, he knows they're going to lose, he doesn't want to lose any more stormtroopers. He calls them all back, because even though he's lost the battle, the main priority for him was to get everything loaded onto the Star Destroyer. He had enough time to do that. And so he's pretty much ready to go back to the other galaxy.
Yeah, and that's typical Thrawn, man. Dave Filoni knows how to write for that man.
Yeah, I'm sure they brought in Timothy Zahn, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
Ahsoka gives Shin the opportunity to join them, and Shin runs away with that wolf creature. We have a nice reunion underneath the Jedi Starfighter. The three heroes are together, Ahsoka, Sabine, and Ezra.
Right.
Hu Yang shows up with his ship, and we cut to the credits, and we've only got one episode left.
Well, you miss him saying, well, I guess I'm really going home, and that there is another moment where, you know, you're like, yeah, this is real. So, yeah, I was real happy. Excuse me. I was happy with this episode. I'm happy with the reunion. I'm happy with the, you know, the mention of Zeb was kind of fun. Yeah, the last three episodes, as soon as Thrawn showed up, it was been pedal to the metal with this show. I was kind of hoping it would have happened a little sooner, but I just have a feeling it's going to wrap up in 10 minutes, and we're going to have an Heir to the Empire, Empire Strikes Back ending to this this season.
Yeah, I do think, so the threads that they've laid is rescuing Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Ezra? We know where he is. Rescuing him, we're with him, so we can go back. We've got the ship. The other was Thrawn coming back is the other thread. So I think that's the only other thing that they really need to answer this season.
Mm-hmm.
Does Thrawn come back? I think that's a yes. I don't think we're going to get like a Return of the Jedi ending. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed if they're thinking all the threads are going to be tied up. I think we're just going to see a new position of the galaxy where Thrawn comes back. We might learn what's his cargo is.
Yeah.
I think the only thing is like, is Sabine and Ezra, is Ahsoka and Baylan going to go back and fight one more time? I do think that Baylan, they've kind of hinted it throughout the season that this planet is the starting point of Jedi, or maybe the starting point of the Force. He's talked about how he doesn't like the Empire, how he didn't like the Jedi. So I'm wondering if he's looking for like pure, unfiltered Force. Is he going to try to join the Force and not in its purest form?
Right. I mean, he may. Yeah. I think that's going to be our end credit scene. Is going to be Bail on finding whatever he was looking for, and then it's going to fade to black.
I do think we'll get a Morgan Elsbeth in a Ahsoka fight.
Ooh.
Because the actress did talk about working like 17 hours on a fight or something like that. 17 days working on a fight. We haven't seen that yet, so that's right. Going to come up.
Well, I'm sure she's going to catch up with the Star Destroyer, with the Chimera. And,
I think they're going to try to stop Thrawn, and Thrawn gets away.
Yeah, and then they've got to jump in a space whale and make it back. And there's going to be a time jump or something. I think you're going to see them leaving, and then you're going to see them all arriving, and then...
I think Qui Yan can get them back on their own.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's a... I've heard rumors of there's a very good tie-up. Somebody, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who plays Hera, said that there's a very touching end to... There's definitely a wrap-up with Rebels.
With Rebels?
Right. There's
with
definitely,
Rebel characters?
With Rebel characters. Like, okay. The Rebel series wraps up in this season.
Oh.
So there's a... Something's going to happen with all the Rebels crew.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see Hera and Ezra hug.
Right. I think we're going to get that. And there's also been rumors... Because of the picture of Hera having a what looks like a Freddie Prinze Jr. picture on her dashboard, that there's rumors that Kanan Force Ghost.
We do see him in. We don't see him, but he is in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, which pissed Freddie Prinze Jr. off.
Because yeah, that's the reason why I get pissed off in that movie. But anyways, I digress. Mm-hmm. So
Freddie Prinze Jr. feels that Kanan's story's done.
Yeah.
But and he's not as powerful as all the other Jedi that was in that scene. Because you even hear Ahsoka in that scene. So that's his argument. And there's a interview with Freddie Prinze Jr. and he kind of goes off the Star Wars deep end with it. And he's like, I was trained by the master. I was trained by Dave Filoni. So I know my shit.
Yeah.
Is basically what he says. And he goes off. And he sounds like a crazy person, but it's fun listening to.
Yeah.
He sounds like a black helicopter tin hat guy.
I wonder if, because I'm always trying to tie it back to Heir to the Empire, if Shin becomes the Mara Jade kind of character, and Baylan becomes the Jorah Sabaoth, but Ray Stevenson has passed away, so.
Yeah. They're going to have to, well, they have no choice but to recast him, but. That's what really sucks is he did such an awesome job on this role and it was written so well for him and he nailed it and he passes away like 2 months after filming wraps.
He does. And if you look at his armor, it does look like medieval style armor, both him and Shin's armor.
Mm.
And so he does feel like a dignified knight who once believed in it and is a mercenary now, but he right. still contains the way he conducts himself, the way he presents himself as a knight, he still has that honor, almost, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't really believe the honor.
Right.
He carries himself as though he has that.
Right. There's also was a Easter egg. His belt buckle has a kyber crystal on it, green kyber crystal on it.
Yeah.
So people are thinking, is that his original kyber crystal?
It's possible. But the reason it's not red, his lightsaber's not red, is because he's not full Sith.
Right.
So,
or it's Dave Filoni just being Dave Filoni and messing with us.
No, I would imagine that's why. Red is reserved for Sith. Mm-hmm. People who fall are probably orange. But yeah, it was a good episode. Love C-3PO. I loved Ezra being Ezra. Mm-hmm. I love some of the faces he made, like the weird smile. He's like, "No, the Force is my ally."
Right, and he totally kicked ass. And then there was one scene where he's like, "Can we just talk?" And it's totally right out of Rebels.
Yeah.
I can't wait for tomorrow night. It's going to be a long 24 hours to wait for tomorrow night.
Yep.
What are your feelings? I mean, are we already pretty much covered?
I covered my feelings.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to get full answers. I think everything's going to be left open for the continuation. I think this is... How do I say this? I think, like, Filoni's like, okay, seasons 1 through 3 of The Mandalorian, they're introducing the universe. How far do we want to go? We want to get a bigger universe. They said, you know, let's do the movie. Let's do Ahsoka. Let's blow this thing open. Mandalorian is big right now, so let's just expand that universe. And I think this is the first step in expanding the universe.
Which I'm... Like I said last episode, the Skywalker saga has become stale. And I can't wait to see what's coming up next. The next few years of Star Wars content is going to be amazing.
We got an email from Lori, who's written us before, and I'll read that for us. It's just a different perspective. I haven't read this yet, so as I read this, I'm going to be kind of soaking it in.
Right, and I glanced over it, so I want to hear it. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn. Hope you and Jason are doing well. I've been following your coverage of Ahsoka after making sure to watch each episode before listening. I had to admit, the first few episodes left me pretty cold, as I haven't seen Rebels. So I'm not familiar with these characters. I have heard someone else talk about that the same way. They never watched Rebels, and the first couple episodes were shaky, but the later episodes locked them in.
Right.
Back to Laurie here. But then episode 5 was great, and 6 was fantastic, so now I'm well and truly hooked. I just watched episode 7, so great, and I happened to notice some names in the credits, which got me thinking. Now, I'm sure I'm not the first person to notice this, but I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts. The three Night Sisters are named Clotho, Lachesis, and Acrothpaw.
That's why I let you read this, because there's some big names in here.
It would be Clotho, Lachesis, and Acrothpaw, which obviously corresponds with the three Greek fates named Clotho, who spun the thread, Lachesis, who measured it, and Acrothpaw, who cut it. I thought it was just Dave Filoni nodding to ancient mythology, but also Skull and Haiti are the Norse wolves who chased the sun and moon across the sky respectively. So Balon and Shin now on the same world as the three sisters. Something clicked in my head. Have the characters traveled to our galaxy far, far away from theirs, or have more specifically, is Peridia maybe Earth thousands or even million years ago? These five characters who supposedly to be historical figures who are ancient mythologies are based on. So I think what he's saying is Peridia Earth, the galaxy far, far away is Star Wars universe, and the three mythology, all the mythological characters come from this planet are actually Earth.
Right.
As I said, I'm sure I'm not the only person who noticed this stuff, but if I'm the last horse to cross the finish line and all the Rebel fans already figured this out, then I guess that serves me right for not keeping up with the animated shows. We'd love to see if this is something you guys have talked about already with the group, or if there are other names that I've missed in the show that might add to that theory or detract from it. As always, let's encourage everyone to get their prostate checked.
He also sent another email about E.T. Did you see it?
About what?
E.T. I don't know if it came through.
I didn't get that one, but...
Oh, hold on.
No, I didn't think about that. I didn't consider... I guess in my mind, it's all a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with... Even though, and using another property as an example, Tolkien did say Middle Earth is the past history of Earth, but as I read that stuff, I never really felt like it was Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it was just a story that took place in someone... In a multiverse, it's not here, it's somewhere else. It's somebody's mind and somebody's creation. It's not It's not real.
It's not. Well, he also says he sent an email. He sent another email that says ET species exist in that other galaxy, and they definitely visit Earth.
Yes.
So and he goes, well, I guess that seals the deal.
And even ET says home to Elliot or to Yoda when he sees the Yoda costume in
right.
ET. So, yeah.
I think it's got legs. It's got a little bit of traction. It would be funny if it turns out that way.
Yeah.
And then there again, it also, they keep going back to stories. Yeah, because when Jason sees the Star Whales for the first time, he's like, it's just like the stories you told me. And in the next episode, Hu Yang starts off with telling a story to Ahsoka. So they just keep going. And Baylan even talks about stories.
Yeah.
So I think there's something there. We just haven't figured it out yet. I think it's a great theory.
It's cool. It's meta.
Yeah.
It helps you sleep at night. Go for it. I don't know. I don't subscribe to that theory, but I like to keep my food separate on my plate. I finish my meat before I eat my potatoes. I don't eat them at the same time. So maybe you choose to do that, and that's your thing.
Right.
It's a great theory.
It's a great theory. I'm not poo-pooing on it, and I think you've got something there. But there again, not to poo-poo on your theory, but every theory that's come out has been wrong so far, which is what I've loved.
Mine?
No, not your anybody's.
Oh, anybody's.
Yeah. Every I've stopped watching theories on TikTok. There's this one guy on TikTok who just comes up with these great theories, and he does a really good job talking about it. But everything he said was wrong, and it's nothing against him. It's just Dave Filoni's writing. I think he's going one, it's pointing one way, but then in the background going, this is where I'm going, and you're missing it, and everything's in plain sight, but you're over here and I'm over here.
You're overthinking it.
Right.
And I love that because it keeps you on your toes. Like, mm-hmm. if you know the story before you start watching it, that's not an engaging story. If you think it's just going to keep going left and it suddenly goes right, you're like, you're engaged.
Right.
You're enthralled. You're connecting. You're participating. So I think it's working. It's doing the thing that it's doing.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, the whole theory culture, I don't know if I've coined that term.
You just did, and you put it on tape.
Needs to stop, and I know, like, we're theorizing. We just finished theorizing ourselves, but to an extent. We're having fun. I don't know.
It's fun to talk Star Wars.
I need to shut my mouth.
No, it's fun to talk Star Wars, and I'm concerned because rumor has it that this is only a 45-minute episode tomorrow night.
But we said the same thing with Mando Season 3. It was like 45 minutes to finish up this season, and they did it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some battle as the Star Destroyer is taking off, and there's a race to stop Thrawn, and Thrawn gets away, and we cut to the other galaxy, and Thrawn arrives in some undisclosed location where the remaining Empire's waiting for him.
Well, like, you know they're waiting for him because they've the Shadow Council. Oh, man, wouldn't it be... Could you imagine him show up and you've got Moth Gideon and the Shadow Council waiting on him?
Yeah, that would... yeah, because Gideon's supposed to be dead, but there's the theory that he's clones.
Right.
I mean,
because he didn't have a mustache.
He didn't have the mustache. You can't grow a mustache if you're a clone. It's reserved for non-clones only.
Are really cool people that run a spice mine.
No matter what happens, I've really enjoyed Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. It's great popcorn consuming content, I guess. Like, you don't have to think about it. But if you do think about it, it goes in unexpected places. The characters are engaging. The villain is someone I care about because I've been a Thrawn fan for 30-some-odd years. Ahsoka's on point. You know, they've got the character development where she finally becomes a Jedi from a depressed character. Sabine is the only character I'm a little disappointed in. Ezra is Ezra to his faults.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great. I think Ahsoka's been great so far, and I don't think one episode is going to kill that for me. Like, I might be disappointed with it, but the journey itself was fun.
Right. But this is a show, like I said, I've been waiting 5 years for Rebels to wrap up, and I've been waiting 2 years for Ahsoka. knowing what you're getting, that you're getting Rebels Season 5, basically, in Ahsoka. And I'm ecstatic. You know, like you said, I don't know if you're going to be able to ruin the ride, but I truthfully, I think the only way that my ride would be ruined is if there's not a Rebels wrap-up tomorrow night, or tonight, in the season finale. That would be the only way that I would be, quote-unquote, ruin this Ahsoka show for me.
I hope that the characters continue. I hope we get more Hera, because I think out of everybody, Hera's been my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her strength, her commitment to doing what's right, to keeping her friends together, and knowing that there's better inside of them and pushing them to find that better.
Yeah.
I think the way that Mary Elizabeth Winstead has acted, like, she's just nailing it.
Yeah, the casting, I think, has been on point this whole, with everybody. They did a killer job with it. You know, like I said, I wasn't too excited about Sabine when I wasn't excited about any of them when you see pictures, but when you see them in live action and you see them talking the characters and being the characters, it's been an amazing run.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, Thrawn is, he's a, how old is, he's what, 60 years old, a character playing Thrawn, so, you know,
I think Thrawn's about that age too.
Okay.
In the universe, I would imagine.
I think they might have, they could have done a better physical, but they couldn't have nailed the voice, and he couldn't have nailed the mannerisms, and he couldn't have nailed the thinking. So Thrawn is more than a physical being. He's the embodiment, and he embodies Thrawn. And any other, they did that, if they would have cast anybody else, it would have ruined that character.
Because Thrawn had missions with Anakin Skywalker in the books.
Right, and I think that's why...
So that's why he's younger. He was younger back then, he's older now.
Right, and that's when he paused. There's a theory that when... there's another theory, but when he... Crap, hold on, let me gather my thoughts for a second. When he finds out that Ezra was trained by Anakin, when he asks if there's only one ship, there's a move from Clone Wars that Ahsoka coins, that instead of pointing the launch bay towards the battle, she points the launch bay away from the battle so that the ships can get out. And I forgot what that move's called, but anyway, that's I think what Thrawn was thinking about when he asked if there was only one ship. But there's so much that with the EU and with the books, and it's becoming Marvel, you know, where you have to watch and know. So you can enjoy it without knowing everything, but when you know everything, it makes it that much better.
Yeah. We're a collecting podcast, so I do want to talk about Hasbro for a second, and I'm sorry to dump on them some more, but I do feel like the fact that Lucasfilm is keeping everything close to the chest and they're not sharing stuff in advance of shows, that entitles Hasbro to not make the stock that they once made. We're not going to get the tertiary characters. It's a struggle to get secondary characters too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't need to. They can just sit back, wait, and then make three figures from each show and then move on. Because I know, like, Andor wasn't a very, they call it toyetic show, because it's just a couple main characters who are human. And that's probably not a show to get toys, but because it's an adult show.
Right.
It's not going to be for kids, and kids aren't going to watch that and be like, hey, I want my Cassian figure. I want my, it's been too long, Luthen figure. Hasbro can just sit back and be like, well, we don't need to do anything to support that. And I feel like that's what's going on. Like, they don't really feel the need to make the secondary characters. And with the rate that Lucasfilm's making these shows, they can sit in the back burner and let the show, where am I going with this?
Let the show develop?
I lost it. I lost it. I was on a roll.
Doggone it, Jason.
No, they don't have to make the secondary characters. And I think that's frustrating, because I enjoy some of those secondary characters.
Well, if we don't get whatever that main stormtrooper is, that's a a fail on Hasbro's
Captain
part.
Enoch.
Captain Enoch.
I mean, they're going to make Captain Enoch, but...
Hey, you know what Hasbro's most excited about? All they have to do is paint some red on some Stormtroopers, and people are going to buy them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the frustrating part. It seems like, given the option of making a new character, we've talked about this, or repainting, they're going to repaint. So the Stormtroopers I'm not worried about, because that's an easy repaint. And with the digital painting that they kind of do, because when you look at the characters' faces, you can see the speckles of where they've applied the paint. It's not like a paintbrush. It's like digitally pinpoint kind of paint. They don't need to... They're not going to make the face characters, because it's going to cost too much money. They'll make another Mandalorian before they make a Jason.
And I'd love to have... You know what? And I want to talk about Jason real quick. People have poo-pooed on Jason, but I kind of like that character. And I think it's just because it's nostalgic. He's nostalgic for me.
I don't think Jason's a bad character. There's a lot of people who want to punch him in the face, but I'm like...
Ted?
Yeah, Ted from The Force, of course, doesn't like Jason. But I don't like that senator guy. Jason is not that annoying of a character. I think he's played his part. He's a Jedi who's helped find Ahsoka when they needed a Jedi to find Ahsoka.
Right.
And she probably would have drowned out in the middle of the ocean without Jason.
Yeah.
The story would have been over.
But Jason found her. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the character arcs. I'm just re-saying what I've said, but I've enjoyed Jason. Jason's been a good character.
Yeah, and I guess that's all I got to say about that.
Jason's got to find the script.
Thank you for listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast. I didn't have it, but I know the first line. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If it's allowed, it really helps us out. Helps people find our show. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Send us an email. Message us. This episode won't be on YouTube, but we got to get back to doing that.
Yeah, we do. I keep sending you the videos, and you know, don't do anything with them. So
I haven't got any.
Really? I keep sending them to you.
I haven't gotten any in a while. The ones that I post are the ones I get. I just assume you never send it to me. I'm too busy to
I send them to you on Google Drive, damn it, Jason.
All right, we'll get the next one. Thank you, Lori, for doing that this week. We really appreciate you sending us your thoughts and ideas. We love feedback. We'd love to make you part of a show like that. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Afonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. And thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People, collect for the love of it. #vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community.